What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you, and we're going to preview the newcomers to the swag, Bethune-Cookman University Wildcats. We're going to talk about the Wildcats and see what we can expect from their season. Again, they did not play in the spring, so we are kind of flying by the seat of our pants on this episode, and, you know, with them being a new swag team, this is a team I don't know a lot about myself, so we're gonna kind of figure out what we can and can't expect from them, what historically what they've done, and we're just gonna kind of have a good time talking about this team, and hopefully we can make some good deductions on their previous play style and figure out if we can see how successful they'll be. They were picked fifth by the media as Swag Media Day. I'm not really on board with that. I think they most likely are a top four. I mean, obviously, the difference between three, four, and five is not a huge jump. I picked them fourth. Fourth and fifth is not that big of a difference. It's more of a visual difference than probably an actual on-the-field difference. But I think the East is going to be tough. So, they could have a good season and still finish low. But I think they're going to be fourth. That's almost splitting hairs. So I'm not really going to get super up in arms in that. But I do think this is a team, if they play well, they can finish in the top half of the conference. In 2019, they went 7-4. They were 5-3 in the MEAC. So they finished with a winning record. And they've been fairly successful the last few years. 2018, they were 7-5. So they are at 5-2 in the MEAC. So, like I said, this is a team under Coach Terry Sims. I think they are 34-21 in his 5 years at Bethune-Cookman. So, that's a positive record. They win games. And they put themselves in positions to win games. They also were 7-4 in 2017, 6-2 in conference. So again, this is a team who finishes high in the conference every year. And they have a style of football that they are known for. They're not a high flying offense. They're more of a running offense. In 2019, they averaged 162 yards per game, rushing 20 touchdowns. They threw the ball for 164.1 yards per game passing. So that's, balanced statistically. They were 150 of 278 passing, 11 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. They averaged 24.3 points per game on offense, scoring 268 points. Defensively, they allowed 25.9. So their scores are typically going to be close. Defensively, they allowed 193 yards per game on the ground, so they weren't a great rushing defense. 200 yards a game through the air, allowed 8 interceptions by the defense, allowed 19 touchdowns. Average yards per game, total offense, 326 for the Wildcats, 394 for the opponents, 5.3 yards per play for Bethune-Cookman, 5.5 yards per play for the opponents. So again, statistically, everything was pretty much even. 33 yards a punt for the Wildcats, 37 for the opponents. Time of possession, Bethune-Cookman, 26 minutes and 23 seconds on average. The opponents, 33 minutes and 36 seconds on average. 33% third down conversion for Bethune-Cookman, 38 for the opponents. 45 fourth down percent conversion for Bethune-Cookman, 44% for the opponents. Bethune-Cookman fumbled 7 times, lost 3. Giving them a total of 9 turnovers on the season. The opponents had 11 fumbles and lost 6, giving them a total of 14. So they had a positive turnover ratio. 28 sacks for Bethune-Cookman, 29 for the opponents. Red zone, 27-37 for Bethune-Cookman, 28-43 for the opponents. And so like I'm saying all that to basically say that this team, they were the definition of a team who weren't going to beat themselves, but they really weren't going to beat anybody else, very soundly. Going 7-4 is almost an average season nowadays. I mean, when you think about it, Seven wins, the difference between 7 wins and 1 win is not much. So if 6-5 is, you know, your basic winning record, 7-4 is just a step above that. Looking at some of their scores in 2019, they had a close game with Valley. They won 22-6, but Valley was in that game for the most part. They had to come from behind to beat Jackson State 36-15. They beat Howard 37-29. They beat Morgan State 31-20. They beat North Carolina Central 27-13. They beat Norfolk State 35-22. They lost to South Carolina State 27-19. They lost to Delaware State 16-13. They got blown out by North Carolina A&T 47-17, and then they beat Florida A&M 31-27 in the Florida Classic, which gave them their ninth straight win in that Classic. They were 2-1 at home, 3-3 on the road, and 2-0 in neutral sites. Like I said, 5-3 in the conference, 7-4 overall. So this, you know, this is a team who is gonna be competitive. They're gonna be physical. They definitely want to run the football. You know, that's what they do. Individually, Isaac Washington is their leading returning rusher. He has 636 yards, 5 touchdowns. He averaged 5.3 yards per rush, 57 yards per game. The second leading rusher was Archivis Washington Williams, excuse me. He was the quarterback. He ran for 571 yards, 10 touchdowns. And losing their leading passer, they have three quarterbacks returning who threw a total of 9 passes. Combined, they were 4 for 9 for 32 yards, one touchdown, and no interceptions. They do get a transfer from Pine Bluff, Shannon Patrick, who started the bulk of the 2019 season at Bethune-Cookman. Although he did split time with Skylar Perry, but that's an experienced quarterback coming in that can really help. There was a point in time where they thought they were getting Jeremy Higbottom, but he flipped his commitment to Tennessee State. So I would honestly, I mean, obviously you can't say right out the gate that Patrick is going to start, but that's an experienced guy coming in. So he's a senior, and he has, you know, he has starting experience in the SWAC. That could be beneficial for him. And the fact that no other quarterback has really thrown the ball very often on the season is definitely a key, could be a key factor. Jimmy Robinson is an all-purpose type of guy. He's the leading receiver, 39 receptions, 468 yards, 4 touchdowns. Stephon Francois is more the big play guy. He had 13 catches for 295 yards. He averaged 22.6 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns. Marcus Riley, 20 catches, 257 yards. So, I mean, as you can see, their passing numbers aren't spectacular, but they want to run the football. Defensively, they pretty much return everybody, led by Marquise Hendricks, with 98 tackles, Devin James, 83. Tadarius Peters, 62. Ontario Johnson, who was elected second team all SWAC preseason. He had 52 tackles. Tackles for loss, they were led by Marquise Ford. He had 9.5. Devin James, 7.5. Tadarius Peters, 7.5. Judas McKenzie, 7.5. Hendricks, 5.5. Rashawn McNeil, Jerome Howard, 4.5. Ontario Johnson, 3.5. The Wildcats had a total of 72 tackles for loss on the season. And like I said, they had 28 sacks. And they were led by Marquise Ford with 5.5. Judas McKenzie, 3. Rashawn McNeil, 2.5. Hendricks, 2. Howard, 2. Johnson, 2. They were led in interceptions by Trevor Merritt. He had 3 interceptions on the season. Tadarius Peters with 2. McNeil and James each had 1. So this, you know, this is going to be a team that's led by their defense. Bryce Cowart was the punter. He had 57 punts, 1,921 yards. He averaged 33 yards a punt. They are gonna most likely have a new kicker, at least starting. Jonathan Thomas. He was 1 for 2 on field goals on the season. And he had 6 kickoffs, averaging 43 yards per kick. Returns, Tyrese Spain, 19 punt returns, 259 yards, average 13 yards per return. Jimmy Robinson, the leading kickoff man, he had 33 returns, 880 yards, one touchdown. So they do see they do return their returners. But this is gonna be a team. I think they're not flashy, so I think they're gonna get lost in the shuffle. But they play a style of ball that's gonna be very physical. Offensively, they're not gonna scare you. I don't expect them to start throwing the ball all around, but they're a team that's gonna have to be able to control the line of scrimmage and control the clock, because I think if they fall behind, then they will be toast. And they're in a division with some teams that like to put the ball in the air, so it's gonna be vital for them if they're gonna survive to play good defense. Play better defense against the run, and obviously pass defense is a must, and continue to get pressure on the quarterbacks. But I think their biggest question is going to be offense, especially with a new quarterback. They do return most of the other pieces, so that can help the adjustment. Looking at their 2021 schedule, they open up with UTEP on the road on September 4th. This is a game. If this team was a bit more experienced, I would probably lean hard on them winning this game. Because UTEP is not a good team. They are a team that's historically horrible, and I think they were pretty bad last year, in 2020 as well. Just want to take a quick look at what they did in 2020. This, like I said, Bethune-Cookman was a bit more, experienced on offense, especially. I would really lean hard on them winning this game because like I said, UTEP not good, never really been good, and this is a team that you can catch, because they're gonna be trying to get some momentum. They were 3-5 last season, so. They won their FCS game by a total. They had two FCS games on the season. They won them by a total of 13 points. So they didn't blow anybody out. I think Bethune-Cookman, with a little bit more experience, could have a good shot in this game. It's just the first game of the season. I don't feel very confident in that. But if their defense can play well and the offense can run the ball, I think they have a better shot than normal. But it's hard for me to pick them to win that game right now. September 11th, they go to UCF. Gus Malzahn is at UCF now. They're gonna play, a little bit more of a spread. Well, they're gonna continue to spread the ball out. Dylan Gabriel is a tremendous quarterback. They have a lot of weapons at their team, so it's gonna be a tough affair for Bethune-Cookman. I think UCF will win that one. September 16th, Thursday night, they open up SWAC play at home against Alabama A&M. Very tough opening game in conference, coming off of two road games and playing a Thursday night game. I think right now, I think Alabama A&M wins this game, because their offense, I think, is going to be too much for Bethune-Cookman to handle. I don't know how much Bethune-Cookman's offense will have gelled in 3 weeks. So it's easier to lean on the more experienced team. So I will go with Alabama A&M in that situation. September 25th, they go to Alabama State. This game here is probably going to be the game that determines who finishes in that fourth place in the division. Alabama State, obviously, they have, Ezra Gray, who's a great running back. They have Ja'Cory Merritt. They have Hixon, a receiver, and obviously Ryan Nettles is a up-and-coming quarterback. Defensively, that defense is very stout against the run. Bethune-Cookman, again, new quarterback. It'd be fourth week. Hopefully they'll be settled. They won't be juggling quarterbacks. I do like some of the running game weapons that they have. So I really want to. I this game here is like a toss-up to me. I think if Bethune-Cookman is going to make a statement, they have to make it here, because other than that, is not, the going is not going to be very easy. Man, I'm wavering on this one. I think Alabama State being at home gives them a bit of an edge. This is a tough a tough pick for me. Obviously, this is one that will probably change back and forth as the season goes on. I'm gonna go with Bethune-Cookman just because I think that I think that they need to make a statement, and this is a game that they have to make it in. That's not saying that Alabama State is, can't win this game, but this schedule isn't very, very conducive to winning streaks. So I'm gonna go with Bethune-Cookman in this game. October 2nd, they go to South Carolina State. These two teams obviously have played year in and year out. South Carolina State leads the series 24. 32 wins, 24 losses, and one tie. The South Carolina State won the last matchup, not 27-19, but Bethune-Cookman won two in a row the last 2 years after that. So this has been a pretty close matchup. Bethune-Cookman's averaging about 17 points in this game. I think, like I said, a lot of what happens with Bethune-Cookman to me is going to hinge on how they play on offense and how the quarterback develops. By this point in the season, if Shannon Patrick is taking control of the offense, which I anticipate he will, I'm thinking if he can step in and get his footing by mid-season, they should be pretty good. I think they'll win this game. I think it'd be one of those low-scoring games. I think if they can score like 27, 28 points, I think they win. So I think they'll pick up the victory there. October 9th, they head to Valley. Oh, excuse me, October 9th, they host Valley for homecoming. Valley's gonna be tough. I'll say that time and time again. I think they'll be tough, but I think Bethune-Cookman will win that game because I'm not sold on Valley playing away from home yet. So I think Bethune-Cookman will win that game. October 16th, they host Prairie View. This is a game that's going to be very interesting. Prairie View's defense is pretty good. They would have been great. I'm not going to continue to harp on the losses that they took in the portal, but they're still going to be a very solid defense. Offensively, I don't know where they're at. So I think Bethune-Cookman, excuse me, will win this game at home. October 23rd, they go to Jackson to take on Jackson State. This is going to be a tough matchup for Bethune-Cookman. If Jackson is playing the way that most people expect them to play, I think they win this game comfortably. I don't think it would be a crazy blowout, but I think they win this game. I think Jackson State wins this game. November 6th, after a week off, they host Alcorn. Another tough matchup. I picked in my Alcorn preview, I did pick Bethune-Cookman to win this game. Because I felt like if there was a point in time that Alcorn would slip up, it would probably be here. Because this would be Alcorn's fourth game in a row on the road. And by this point in the season, I think Bethune-Cookman is going to be playing a lot better offensively. So I think it could be a close matchup, but I think they can beat Alcorn. I'm not 100% on that, but I think they can win that game. And I did pick them to win that game in the Alcorn preview. Looking at what I've figured out about this team, I'm still picking them, but I'm not as solid in that pick as I was a couple of days ago. Research is a bitch, but I think they can win this game. I'm gonna stick with Bethune-Cookman just because I picked that in my Alcorn preview, so I'm gonna stick with that. November 13th, they go to Grambling. Again, Grambling is a wild card team, but they're playing at Grambling. Grambling is typically good at home. In the spring, they didn't win any games at home, so I think I'm gonna stick with Bethune-Cookman in this game, because I think they're a little bit more solid than Grambling. And I'm like I said, I'm fairly high on them, so I'm gonna stick with that. November 20th, they play Florida A&M in the Florida Classic. I think this year the streak ends. I think everybody's been talking about it. I know, FAMU's known for years that the streak exists, But I think now, I think it's the time that it ends. It's gonna be one of those close games. Kind of going through the history of this matchup. These teams have they've played some close games. They've had a few blowouts in this matchup, but Bethune-Cookman is averaging 18 and a half points in this series. They are obviously 9-1 in their last 10 games. They won they won last year's game, well, the 2019 game by 4 points. So I really anticipate this being another one of those kind of games where whoever has the ball last is probably going to win. I think Florida A&M will win this game and send Bethune-Cookman to the end of their winning streak in the Florida Classic. So going back over the schedule after that 0-2 start against the FBS opponents, where and then a 0-3 start once you count the Alabama A&M game, I see Bethune-Cookman at this point winning. Winning six games, going 6-5. That's an average season. That's pretty much around where they've been the last few years, 7-4, 7-5. So I think they can be 6-5, but that's picking an upset and giving them a couple wins that I wasn't 100% sure on. So it's possible looking at this through a closer lens. And this team could finish fifth place. I still think people are sleeping a bit on Bethune-Cookman, but they may not be sleeping as much as I thought. It's gonna take some maneuvering to get to those six wins. So I think if I would say their ceiling would be 7-4. I don't see them winning more than seven games. I'm giving them the two FBS losses. I would love for them to win one of those games. I know UCF is probably not going to be the one. If they were able to pull off an upset in the FBS game, it would be UTEP. But just factoring in the fact that I think those two losses are coming, they would have to beat either FAMU, Jackson State, Alabama A&M, or Alcorn. To win eight games. So I don't really see that right now. So I think seven games is honestly even almost a stretch. But just looking at things on paper, obviously, paper doesn't win games, and this is all a guess by me. But I think 6-5 is the what I think. Worst case, I would say they will win like five games. Maybe four, but I don't see them winning less than six games. So they're a team who I think is gonna be a middle of the pack team, no matter how you slice it, and they'll finish in that middle of the pack in the division. So this preview was definitely not easy. This is a lot of guesswork on my part, and I would love to be wrong on Bethune-Cookman because I think that they're gonna be a team that's gonna be a factor in this conference. They move quietly. They don't make a lot of waves. They've been that way for a long time, but they win games, but they don't, they win games and they put themselves in position to challenge for the conference, but they don't really, strike you as the kind of team that's gonna, go out there and beat their chest about who they are. So they're gonna quietly make moves and, they could be a team that starts slow. And, when you look up, they've found themselves in the middle of the division race, but this year, especially, I think the division race is going to be tough. So I would be remiss and I would be crazy to put them in that top half, but I think they finished at the top part of the middle of the bottom half of the conference, if that makes any sense. So again, Charles Wells, you can check out the socials, facebook.com/whacktalk. Instagram.com/SwagTalk, SwagTalk76 @gmail.com is the email address. Check out the YouTube page. We're over 210 subscribers. So if you haven't subscribed yet, why don't you go ahead and do so. We have videos dropping pretty regularly. We have a new show that I'm working on with my boy DJ. We call right now it's called All the Smoke, but we temporarily named it Swag Smoke. We still playing with the name, but that's on that the first video is on YouTube, so you can check that out. And that's pretty much it. I'll see you guys on Wednesday when we talk about the other newcomer, Florida A&M. Check out the YouTube page. We will have a Bethune-Cookman video up on YouTube today, so you can check that out. And that's gonna do it for me. I'm gonna go ahead and get up out of here. Y'all have a good day, and we'll see you when we see you.